And listen to the Black Guy Who Tips because Rod and Karen are so hot.
Hey, welcome to another episode of the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. I'm your host, Rod, joined as always by my co-host,
Karen.
And we are live on a lovely Sunday afternoon and after Thanksgiving, which is apparently officially the last day you can eat your leftovers, according to Black Twitter. I don't make the rules. This is just what I learned. So get in there and warm those things up, everybody. Get those turkey sandwiches or whatever you got going. Get them going. And also, we're not alone.
No.
We have a very special guest, first time guest on the show, but somebody that I've always in my head canon wanted to get on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Comedian, voiceover actress, actress, writer, producer, podcast host of Tell the Bartender and the Struggle Bus podcast. It's Catherine Heller. What's going on, Catherine?
You googled me.
Not only did I google you, but I listened to the Struggle Bus podcast.
Yes, and we are fans.
Yeah. That's my official introduction, though. You know, I like to give everybody their full credits, you know.
Yes, I've been such a big fan of yours for years, and when you mentioned us on your show, I like died and listened five times. It was amazing.
Oh man, well, I just it's cool because I always just in my mind was like, I'm gonna get Catherine on the show in my mind. Like,
yes, we had talked about it.
Me and Karen would be like, yeah, I'll be like, oh yeah, I'm gonna do that right now, and then something happens, you forget or whatever, you know, a day goes by and you're just like, you know, piece of candy and paying attention to something else.
Honestly, same. I wanted you on my podcast and then I fall asleep. I take a nap and I wake up and go, what day is it?
Right. So,
I hear that.
We're big fans of Keith and the Girl, and yes, we were watching, silent trailers, mm-hmm, and, your team was, competing against, of course, Keith, the ultimate in, movie trailer guessing. Yeah, the final boss of the movie trailer guessing video game. And, I was like, that is it, damn it. Tonight is the night. And I was like, I'm writing this email. I'm never going to forget again. And so I'm glad you can make the show. Thank you for coming on.
Well, thank you so much for having me. And also, I love how you didn't go through Keith or our Twitter DMs. You actually wrote through my website page, mm-hmm, which I haven't updated in years. And so I got a Squarespace message and I was like, hi, my name is Rod. I am the co-host. And I'm like, I know.
We
want to be official.
Yeah, I think, years of working in corporate America, just makes me like that. And like, it's actually one of the skills I kept from corporate America and I'm proud of, mm-hmm, is because, I will always be professional, you know, cause I haven't been an artist long enough to be like, you know, work, you know, emails. Why can't you just, call me, send a carrier pigeon or whatever? Like, I'm just totally like, no, send a formal email. Don't assume they know you. Don't be too, informal until, you know, there's a rapport. Don't, you know, cause, you just never know what's going on. Somebody might take it and be like, wow, I can't believe this guy, he just DM'd me.
I'm the same way. I not only do I send a carrier pigeon, which gets awkward, is then I also go into the Twitter DMs and be like, hey girl, 2 a.m.
Yeah. You up? Right. You up? You want to be on my podcast?
That's how I do it.
We're not. Yeah, there was a person maybe like a couple months ago where we're cool on – pretty cool on Twitter, and I just direct message them to be like, hey, you want to be on my podcast? And they never responded. And I was like, that's right, that's about right, that's on me. I could have found your website and sent the official thing. I'll do that next time. That's the, you know, what was I thinking? I got ahead of myself.
There's a guy on Facebook who keeps asking me to be on his podcast, and he only messages me like 5 a.m. going, hey, and then ... hey. And I'm just screenshotting it because I think it's hilarious. Yeah. I don't care. I think it's funny.
That's
hilarious.
I always send those people back like, hey, can you just go ahead and email me? Because that's the other thing. I can't keep up all the different
platforms,
ways that people contact each other. And if like, I hate when someone like emails us something about business, or not email, sorry, DMs us something about business on like Instagram. And I'm just like, I don't know how to tell you this, I will never remember this. Like,
right.
As soon as I close this app, it's like, that never happened. If it's not in an email, I can't keep up and archive it and put it in my little perfect folder and all that stuff.
Right. It's a lot. And
when I was told to be on Slack, I was like, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Somebody sent us a Slack thing. I was like, no more. I'm on Discord. That's enough. You don't do Discord. Forget it. I'm old. One platform of this bullshit is enough.
Yeah, it's always like, so do you have a Reddit yet? And I'm like, I don't even know what that is. What is this thing that I'm responsible for maintaining now that is gonna, I forget who I was talking to. I want to say it was, it was a podcast I was listening to. Howard Bryant said, Twitter just exists to get people fired. And I was like, yes, that is how it feels. It does feel like you're gonna get fired one day, and this will be why. You are on Reddit, trying to communicate with everybody, and you said the wrong thing.
I've been podcasting for 9 years now, and my mother still worries about me not getting hired for things based on what I say in my podcast. And I'm like, Mom, literally my gold standard is my mother. Everyone should know my mother is going to hear this. That's all I care about. And I've got nothing but jobs from it.
Yeah. And honestly, like, if you say, there's some things where I'm like, if I've said something on my podcast that keeps me from getting that job, that's probably bad for the best. Like, that job's not for me, because they're just gonna get in there and be like, why are you being yourself? I don't like this. You know? So I'm like, that, it probably saved me a lot of headache. Who knows how many people have listened to our show and been like, can't have them on our show. And it's like, that's good. That's fine.
That's actually, you know, best for all parties involved, because this would not work out at all.
Wow, y'all really do think racism is bad. I guess you can't come on our podcast, so I don't know.
They think Black Lives Matter? Oh no, we can have them on the show.
So, Catherine, how long have you been doing, like, comedy? Like, what's your backstory? Like, what was the first thing you did that, really put you on this trajectory?
Oh, well, I've always been an actor person, performance, because I, you know, I like to escape from my world. And but I've never done stand-up comedy except for once. And I did it at the, I forget what it's called, but it's a place in New York City, because Keith and the girl convinced me to do it to enter a comedy competition against all these amazing comedians. And I won $300. So I like to say I started stand-up comedy and retired in the same night. But I always abide by the theory, do something every day that scares you kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I told him that I was terrified to do it. So I was like, so then I'm doing it. So I don't do stand-up, but I've done improv for a long time and sketch comedy and then writing. And I'm a playwright as well and an actor and all these things. So that's sort of how it started.
It's interesting because...
But no, I don't do stand-up. And not that I don't love stand-up. I do storytelling shows as well. Yeah.
I feel like that counts as stand-up, but I do understand the distinction. It's interesting because, one, your stand-up story reminds me of in college, I played... they have NCAA football, this video game that comes out every year, or used to, before these college athletes started wanting to get money.
They get paid and shit.
I mean, back when you could just, you know, when you could just feed them and clothe them and say,
And Mickey Mouse coins that can only be used at the university.
Yeah. You know, you could put them on the cover and not give them any money. That was, you know, back in the good days. But, we used to play, there was this NCAA football game, and I never really played it. I wasn't that good at it. Didn't care. But one day in our dorm, they had, some guys were just in a room playing it. And I was like, oh, I guess I'll give it a shot. And I played. And I won for hours. Like, I was beating so many people. Were coming in like, I got next, and they would get like super mad, and they were really mad because I would be like, oh man, I've never played this game before, this is crazy. And they'd be like, how is he doing this, right? And so after I beat everyone in the room, I quit. I never played that game again, not once in my life.
I think one of the reasons I won the competition, it was at the Laugh Factory or something like that, and because they had a lot of really top-notch comics on who didn't prepare. A lot of people like to wing it,
right?
You know, when they stand there and they're like, anyway, you know, yeah. I actually like prepared and memorized and did my tight two and like, you know, in my apartment for hours.
Right.
So I think it's just because I showed up with material.
But that's like, oh, shit, takes this seriously.
That's what they get. But I like the idea of never doing it again to a certain extent, because it is like, y'all will never take that day away from me, and no one can ever say that better. I can just be like, in my head canon, I can always just be like, well, I'm the best. So, you know, it really doesn't make sense for me to just keep, I won comedy that day. So, you know, I'm sure you're funny too, and you make a living off of it. That's nice, but.
Yes, I'm the goat of stand up.
Yeah. Yes. Kudos.
I have a lot
you.
Of respect. Oh, sorry.
Good. My thing is, before we move on, I want to say this, and it's not to get off topic. I want you to know, I absolutely, positively adored Struggle Bus, and I was one of the people that was really, really sad when it was like our last episode. I was like, oh no. And I was like, it was one of them things where, you know, how the Marvel movies end and you thinking you're gonna get like a post credit scene, how they fake the funk and be like, you know, we was just kidding, y'all, we actually good. It's like, no, we're not coming back. You know, don't, you know, you refresh your feed, you're gonna get anything. Because for me, I found you through Keith and the Girl, right? You found you through Keith and the Girl, and I found Struggle Bus. And when I started listening, it was like a refreshing thing to listen to you and Sally. And I know this might sound wild and crazy, but I'm just going to give you my perspective. I was like, oh, these are two white women that actually care. And I know that might sound stupid, but I was like, oh, they actually really care.
It doesn't sound stupid or crazy, but keep going.
I was like, oh, they actually care. They're actually concerned. They're actually, you know, expanding their minds, like, oh. And then that's when I started actually listening and kind of expanding and thinking about therapy, you know, just kind of going through the whole thing and honestly realizing that I wasn't alone in life, you know, because sometimes you do think that you're alone, but when you go, no, there are other people out here that are struggling with these various different things and dealing with these things. Like, my issues might not be as heavy as others, but regardless how big or small it is, it's a struggle in your life, and so that's all that kind of matters. And so for me, I wanted to tell you, thank you for actually doing the Struggle Bus and touching people like me. Mm-hmm. You know, because it was one of the kind of the highlights of my week to actually listen. Well, y'all were doing it bi-weekly, but sometimes I would get behind, so I would kind of listen to it like once a week and sometimes multiple times and things like that. So I just had to tell you that, you know, because I was like, before we got off show, I gotta tell her I was a fan of the Struggle Bus.
Yes, it was. And I remember listening to the last episode being like, please say psych, you know.
That's like, what I said. I was like, no, this ain't real. It was one of the it was a selfish thing. I was like, right. No, y'all can't go live real lives. No.
But it's funny though, because as an adult, you know, like the adult voice starts talking, you're like, it's fine. They're still alive. They're doing the show.
Right, they didn't
they're
die.
Just not doing the show. They're gonna be around. There's other things. It's still tell the bartender, still her podcast.
Yes, I had
she
to,
might do that. You know, like it is
I had to talk myself off the ledge.
Kind of that thing. I know when we're fans of stuff, a lot of times, at least for me, I feel like I'm a fan from afar. Like, I don't try to be all up in the like, hey, it's me, what y'all doing today, you know? Like, I'm just like, do your show, and I'm gonna be listening. But what I really liked about it was, one, the mental health aspect of it, you know, because I think that's something that has become super important, especially after like living through the pandemic, Trump, all this stuff. And then also, like, I had like great listener letters and stuff and advice for people, and it was really nuanced and introspective and supportive for folks that were fans and stuff. I just thought y'all did such a great job. I think when I listened to the last episode, I just remember being like, job well done, though, you know what I mean?
Right.
Everything has a season, everything has a time, and it's totally cool to move on, but y'all really did a great job for as long as y'all did that show. Yeah.
If you ever want to do the Struggle Subway or the Struggle Train, you know, if you ever want to speed up the transit, I'm there for it too. Struggle Airplane, sign me aboard.
The Struggle Ride Share.
Yes. Struggle Amazon, I'm here.
Thanks for making me cry on a Sunday. that was really beautiful. Also, I like the long game of comedy, so joke's on you, Sally. Come on.
Yes, Sally. Okay.
Yay.
Oh.
No, that really means a lot to me. We loved doing this show. One of the reasons we did it for 6 years.
Yeah.
I start crying. And one of the reasons we stopped is pandemic was really tough on a lot of us for a lot of reasons. And the letters, the emails we're getting were really difficult, and we're not professionals. And we were, you know, we decided to end on a higher note. But we're still friends. We still text all the time, and it really means a lot to me that you said that.
And that's what really matters, is the friendship and the texting. Because I know, like, with my friend Bossy, we do recap podcast for like TV shows, and so we loved Atlanta, This Is Us, Insecure, stuff like that. And there was a period of time where Vasi stopped enjoying This Is Us that much, and so she didn't want to review it anymore, and I was like, fine, I was always in this for the friendship, so we'll just keep texting, and everybody on the internet will be mad, but that's cool. We'll come back when we find a show that we love again. And I think that relationship is cool, and as a listener, that's really more like when y'all were just like, oh, we're not ending this because like we hate each other or something, right. I was like, oh, cool.
We didn't fall out, you know, yeah. Anything. I was like, oh, this is gonna be a happy ending because we've seen some podcasts end on very bad notes.
Yeah.
So I was like, I like a happy ending.
Throw down. I drove to Philly. I can't even drive.
And I just let her have it.
Off, done and done. No, joking. We always said we'd rather be friends than podcast hosts.
Yes, absolutely.
The most important thing. It so happens we are both. But if ever we're feeling that it's overwhelming, because it got a little overwhelming.
So yeah. And
for our own mental health, we dipped out.
And so at the beginning, at the beginning of the pandemic, I remember you talked about having COVID and how long it took you to recover from it and stuff. So like, what was that experience like?
Spoiler, not totally recovered. I have a long hauler stuff. It's not good.
Yeah.
And that's why I want to thank you, actually. If this is going to be a love fest, not a comedy show.
This is my favorite type of podcast.
Yes. I want to thank you for talking so much about the vaccine and how important it is and how it's like, please just do it. It's not a big deal. I have people in my life that I love that will not get vaccinated, and it breaks my heart. And I have tried to have these courageous conversations, but truly whenever you have such a huge platform talk about it, it means the world to me. So thank you for that.
Anyway,
long hauler, it fucking sucks. This is a virus, lives in your body for the rest of your life. Like, chicken pox, it's like shingles.
Yeah.
In your life. HIV, and it's a virus. It lives in your cells forever, and we don't know the extent of the virus at this point.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a few things that had happened in my body that are still happening. So it sucks, and fucking get vaccinated.
Yeah, and it's so weird because I honestly every once in a while we'll have like a crisis of conscience, and like last night we were in the car and I was talking to Karen. I was like, should we like stop talking about it, because I feel like I'm repeating myself and like maybe we're not adding anything new. And then, you know, and one, thank you for saying that, but then two, like I'll think about it and be like, but the people that do misinformation, the people that are like,
they are relentless
playing it, they never take a day off. They're never just like, you know what, guys, I was thinking about it, I'm gonna stop saying it's a conspiracy by the big government. They're always like, no, despite everything that we just read in the news, let me tell you why that's not real.
They don't wake up one day and be like, you know what, I am tired of telling you this same thing I told you yesterday. Nope. They wake up, make the same bacon, egg, and cheese sandwich, bang it on the table, and be like, y'all gonna get the same thing y'all got yesterday.
Yeah,
and so, love it.
So I think that's the thing that gives me conviction, because I do think what we're doing is right. I don't think I'll look back at this time and be like, man, we were really wrong for hoping, like, giving people correct information and trying to help them protect themselves. And if that's divisive, that's really more of the world's fault. That's not our fault. It shouldn't be divisive. It's like saying, like, yeah, man, we come on our show, we tell people, like, you know, practice safe sex, and people are like, that's very divisive, Rod. Politically, I'm gonna stop listening. Safe sex? I don't think so. That's, you didn't have to pick a side between sex, okay? Like, it shouldn't be. Yes. This vaccinated has never been that.
Right! And the thing is, for a lot of people, they are actually learning the Greek alphabet for the first time, because they're actually going through like every letter.
Oh my God.
I didn't even know some of these. I was in Greek, y'all, so I didn't know some of these letters exist. So yeah. I'm like, okay, I guess by the time this ends, I'm going to know the whole alphabet. I don't know how many letters, but I'm getting ready to learn them all.
I'll try to get,
this
make
is
sure.
The closest I've been to a sorority in my life. Right. I'm alpha.
Yeah. That's what's going to happen, is when people start, like, years from now after everyone's gotten it, because these motherfuckers won't stop, like, just get vaccinated or wear a mask, eventually we're just gonna be like, so what, when did you get into the coronavirus? Like, oh no, I'm Delta, so I'm old school. What are you
yeah they're
gonna be like, are you Omicron? Oh, okay. I mean, I guess Omicron's cool too, but
yeah,
that's too many mutations for me.
Yeah,
you know?
I'm spring 2032. When'd you get yours?
Right. But yeah, that definitely, and it does suck, because that's the one argument I don't understand is people say, we don't know the long-term effects of the vaccine. But then I'm like, we really don't know the long-term effects of COVID. This is a scary thing that, like, I'm sure if any of us test positive for it, we're gonna have that moment of like, what's it doing to my body? Am I gonna fucking need some kidneys? Are my fingers gonna turn blue? Am I gonna get depressed? I don't know.
Am I gonna lose limbs? Am I gonna forget shit? Like, am I gonna lose hair? You know, like,
this shit is crazy.
A lot of stuff out there. And maybe, and sometimes, I know I'm not crazy, but the world makes me think I'm crazy when I go, you can get a shot for free, or the possibility of death. Not that you would die, but the possibility is on the table.
Well, then also a range of shit before death. Like, this is the whole range of shit that, like, when Aaron Rodgers is basically like, it's just the flu or whatever, and then he's like, I think I got COVID toe. Oh, wait, no, it's just a fractured toe. I'm like, that's a range of shit, and you're a football player. Well, none of these things would be good for you. It's like, oh man, I'm starting to forget shit. Guess what, bro? You supposed to remember shit every Sunday. That's a big part of your job. So it's just
also
weird.
Also, if you don't want to get the vaccine, but you've ever eaten a bag of Cheetos.
Come on.
Tell me what you're putting in your body right now.
Listen, I have a hot dog in there right now. It's just calling my name. What the fuck am I even concerned about? Like, it's just like the scientists are just like, yeah, that's cool. Y'all should get the vaccine. It's like, oh, cool. Thank you for doing the hard work.
Yes,
I'm out.
Yeah,
I've never questioned you motherfuckers on nothing else. I've never walked out the house and been like, I'm gonna spray cans at that ozone layer because fuck it. You know what I'm saying? It's like,
right, YOLO.
They probably right. I don't know.
Right.
Brush your teeth. Use fluoride. Fucking floss or whatever. All right, cool, dog. You the one figuring this shit out. I didn't go to school for this. Right.
Put sunscreen on, I guess, if you say so. You know, it's one of those things where.
So weird.
Yes, and it absolutely makes no sense because, like, this is where you draw the line. I was like, you know, vaccines ain't new. You know, we take vaccines for a lot of other shit the time.
Like, even in the case of, like, the athletes and stuff, none of them is gonna, like, holistically recover from, like, ACL surgery. You know, like, none of them is gonna be like, oh, man, I got a concussion, but I'm gonna just consult Joe Rogan and see what he say. Like, none of you are gonna do that. So what is happening to make you be like this right now? And like I said, maybe I was telling Karen in the car, like, maybe I'm preaching to the choir now, and that's just what we're doing. But the choir need preachers too, man. So we just gonna be over here choir preaching.
And the thing is, I'm glad that we are just as relentless, because we do have listeners that call in and be like, hey, you've encouraged me to continue to talk to my family members. I've given this to family members and they've thought about it. You know, you've encouraged me to get it. You've encouraged my wife to get it, my cousin. And the thing is, if one person decides to get the shot, to me, it is job well done, because that's one less person that I have to kind of worry about dying from this or getting all these symptoms, you know, that come up. And then when you look at how it's ravaging black and brown and LGBTQ people, you go, oh, it's ravaging the group we are talking to is the group that is affecting the most out of everybody else. And so it's one of those
other than Republicans, but go ahead. Of all the groups except, you know, the people that are like, I'm just not getting vaccinated and I don't give a damn.
And you know what? The thing is, it's taking them out too.
I know. Yeah. And that's what I'm saying.
And the funny part about it is, like, y'all need these people to vote y'all in to win, but it's actually taking out the populace is actually going to vote for you. And I think a lot of them didn't think it was going to go out to what they consider middle America. And then it started sweeping through there and they was like, oh no. All right, y'all, put on your mask. We can't lose Iowa and, Ohio and all these places in the middle of these square states. We can't lose these people, but you have told them this. And so what will make you think they would change their minds all of a sudden?
Mm-hmm.
And so now they're in the catch 22 where their populace is dying, but they won't believe you when you be like, hey guys, get this shot. And I think in my mind, the thing about the people that are telling you not to get the shot were the first people in line to get the shot. Like, y'all got the shot before the general public got the shots.
Yeah.
Senators, governors, congressmen, y'all got it before
people that work at Fox News and shit, they had to get it.
Right.
So and they're on TV literally telling you, I don't trust this vaccine and I don't blame you, conspiracy theory, this, that, and the other. they're vaccinated. They cannot come to their building unless they're vaccinated or they have to get some type of exemption. And you know the motherfuckers got vaccinated and they're getting big checks to do this. So it's really disgusting what they're doing. Catherine, let me ask you this though. That's our coronavirus ain't shit segment. Yeah. How was your holiday? Did you do anything for your holiday? Did you just chill? Like, what'd you do?
Well, my family's in New York. I'm from New York originally, so I just had to take the subway, which is garbage, by the way, these days, because people are not wearing masks, and they're all visiting. And it's so funny. The cops, de Blasio, our mayor, our current mayor, were sending cops because of turnstile jumpers and sending like 20 people at a time to like, you jump the turnstile. But oh, it's so weird when all of a sudden there's a mask mandate on the subway, no cops to be found to give out
tickets. Right.
It's so strange. I wonder why.
Yeah. Anywho, makes you wonder. Yeah.
I went to Manhattan for a hot second. The last Thanksgiving was over Zoom. We're originally from the Bronx. My mom now lives in Manhattan and, we just had a little dinner and, went home. But yeah, we're all boosted, text, including my nephew. So that's cool.
Like, we had our get together with our family. Got to see my niece for the first time in almost 2 years. Mm-hmm. And got to hang out with my mom and dad and stuff. And it was just a small get together. But I was thinking, like, it's sad because you can be lucky. Like, we're lucky to have a family that's like, oh yeah, yeah, get the vaccine, yeah, get the booster.
We didn't have to fight
like,
them. We didn't have to whatever. Argue with nobody. Everybody was like, yeah, I'm getting they was like, when can I get my booster? Everybody was signing up like, and if they say get another booster in 6 months to a year, you gonna shoot me up again.
Yeah. And so there's a, I guess, a level of privilege or luck in that. Mm-hmm. Because I'm sure there's some people that either A, didn't get to see their family because of differing, you know, vaccine stuff, or people that like went and then you're just like, I hope I didn't kill nobody, you know. I got off the plane, but I know Uncle Jeffro don't like, you know, he don't want to get vaccinated. All so right. Hopefully I didn't just pass him some shit.
And you may have had family members, all jokes aside, it was like, I refuse to go. Like, some people are like, y'all act the fool last year, I'm not going. Y'all act the fool this year, you won't get the shots, you won't see me. So some people are like, I actually have to make the decision of, I can't see you.
Yeah.
Like, out of the, because I care so much about your stupid ass, I can't see you. You being stupid. And so I'm actually the adult in the room, so I'm opting not to see you.
Yeah. And like,
yes,
I said,
there was a total of, oh, sorry.
Go ahead. Go ahead. You got it.
Oh, I said there was a total of four of us at Thanksgiving. My mom, my sister, my nephew, and me. That's it.
Yeah.
And there is somebody I will not see in my family because she's not vaccinated. And I don't want to give it to her. I don't want her to die.
That's what's so weird that I don't think they understand, because I think in their mind, we're the jerks. But it's like, honest to God, I couldn't live with, yeah, man, my aunt's dead because I knew she wasn't vaccinated, but she wanted to hang out and she said she didn't care, so I'll be at her funeral next week. Like, get the fuck out of here. Yeah. Dude, I'm not doing that. And you're just gonna have to, either this shit gonna have to go away, you're gonna get vaccinated, or we just not gonna hang out, and that's just gonna have to be okay.
Yes. And also, mm-hmm, before you move on, the worst part about it is that they've been having news articles and things coming out, and they talk to people who have had like these outbreaks in like, mm-hmm, groups
and their families and
families and stuff. Yeah. And they tell them, they're like, hey, you do know that you may have been a contributor to it. And they are in denial. Like, so many people are in denial. They're like, no, wouldn't mean she caught up with something else. She was like,
I think you have to be, almost. I don't think your brain is going to be capable of, like, I have a person that's a friend on just like Facebook, not a friend. And you know, the whole pandemic, we all have them, come on, we know. It's not our fault Facebook makes us call each other friends.
Right? They need to use something else.
It should be levels to that shit, like acquaintance, fan, you know, whatever. Anyway, so this person, she was just always out, you know, and like in one of the states that was one of the like almost pro COVID states. I don't even know. Like,
yes, like I think your COVID on.
Yeah, I think it was like Texas or Florida where it's just like, you're like, mask, take your mask off, you know, that kind of shit. And so,
hey, that makes sense.
And I just remember the whole pandemic, she was just out and about and doing shit and out and about and doing shit. And, I just saw recently she had a family member that died and I was just like, man, do you wonder like because now everybody dies. I'm like, COVID, it don't matter. They're like, he was hit by a bus of COVID.
COVID was the driver.
Yeah, nobody can just die anymore.
Mm-mm.
So I'm like, how are you gonna deal with that if you feel any way about it, you know? And it's funny because, you know, it takes weeks sometimes for people to pass from that shit, but you get sick early and you can go back and watch the timeline of the people, and the people will be like, you know, hey, I'm staying inside, it's crazy these days. Or I'm like, now it's crazy, what happened to make it so crazy these days?
And right now
2 weeks later it's like, and now my grandmama died or something. I'm like, I hope you didn't do it.
You show the struggle COVID bus.
Yeah, the struggle COVID.
I mean, we can talk about this all day. Also, here's I'm collecting all my rapid tests. I know that listeners can't see this, yeah, but I have about 20 rapid.
That's a lot of them,
twice a week.
Yes. So but also tell us this, what was the start of Tell the Bartender, and then what was the start of the struggle bus, like, respectively?
Oh yeah, okay. So I'm an actor, and when I'm not working, I do storytelling shows. I'm in between shows, right? And podcasting 9 years ago, I heard, was a thing. So I have voiceover equipment because I'm a voiceover artist, and I was like, I'll do the podcasting. I'm doing air quotes. And I just started doing it, and I had no idea what I was doing. And I thought, oh, a storytelling show. I like hearing stories. I used to bartend. And I found that regular people have the most amazing stories. Like, there was one really boring customer who I thought was boring, and I was, like, making it my challenge of, like, what is interesting about this person? She's like, well, my father invented Pop Rocks. And I was like, here we go. They have the most amazing stories. So, yeah, I just started doing it just for funsies and learned how to – this is 9 years ago. And I got help from Keith and the girl and our friends John and Molly Neffel, who do Radio Dispatch. And they were like, here's how to podcast. Here's a mic. Just do your thing. Here's Libsyn, whatever. And that's how it started. And then Struggle Bus, Sally and I were sitting around – hanging out at a movie theater, and we were just having a blast, and we were like, let's start a podcast out of nowhere. We did not expect to get any listeners. We just enjoyed talking to each other. Mm. Like, how about an advice show? Night. And then it just exploded.
That is one of the best feelings, is that, man, we have a rapport. Let's just go talk and record it. And then, cause it doesn't really feel like work, you know, like when me and Karen talk, it doesn't really feel like work. Even though obviously it is, but later you're just like, I would have done that for free anyway. So this is just a good time. And then the advice angle on it is cool too, because like the listeners are providing part, it's like a rapport, you know what I mean? Like, they feel included in the show. And then I always feel like advice stuff is like a Rorschach test, right? It's like, cause we can never know someone's complete circumstances. It's impossible. Mm-hmm. We don't know these people. And, you know, we have to assume the narrator is on the up and up and all this stuff. But then it kind of becomes like a little thought exercise of like, what do you see when you hear this? What does it make you relate to in your life? And that's what I really liked about all the like advice, and letters, from people. And I mean, and you're right, I totally understand, like, it does take a toll, because these are some serious letters. They're like, they're not all just like, hey, my mom made pumpkin pie instead of sweet potato pie. It's like, no, some of this shit is like, I was in another country and I think this dude's a rapist. I'm like, oh god. Ooh,
yeah,
oh
yeah.
So I definitely could understand.
Can we get the cranberry lettuce? I like canned cranberry versus homemade cranberry. They're like, no, we're going to the deep end of the pool,
right? So.
Yeah, there are some emails that we wouldn't respond to, like suicidal ideation stuff, right, was difficult, because that's a whole. We would write separately to them, be like, hey, you should probably reach out to a professional, because we're not. Right.
Yeah,
and there are certain ones that were just very, very difficult to read that we wouldn't read on air.
Because also knowing your limits is so important, because it is that thing where it's like, I'm not a mental health professional, so like, y'all take this with a grain of salt. I don't want nobody writing back in 3 months like, well, I did it, I killed the bitch, you're welcome. I'm like, what? That's not what we said.
No, how did we get here?
Her and the children, they're all dead thanks to the struggle. I wrote thanks to the struggle bus on the side of the house in blood. And I really recommended
your I had the podcast plan when the police came in, right, to arrest me.
During the trial, I wore a shirt and I recommended them to listen to your show. It's like, no, motherfucker,
no, this is not what we asked you to do. We said call the professionals.
I wish I kept all the outtakes. There's times Sally and I would just go off on somebody and be like, we're not keeping this in, but we're just gonna go off. Like, he's cheating on you.
Yeah.
Okay? Get over him. Leave him.
Yeah. That was the other thing I liked too, is I never felt like the show was mean. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? Cause I think it's easy to be mean when
yes.
People are writing in for like
my friends.
Yeah, right, yeah. And it takes a lot of work. I respected it. I was like, oh, they must have done so much to not, you know, people are a lot. You know what I mean?
Yes, they are. And I think for me, with the personality like mine, I have a very upbeat, high energy, yay personality. So for me, I was like, oh, this is right up my alley. And you know, everything isn't going to be cheery because it's called the struggle bus, which means you might look at the window and see a little struggle, but at least you on the bus with other people.
What, oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. Okay. What voiceover work have you done and what's that like?
Well, you've definitely heard me on TV talking about pharmaceutical products. And I do some work for some phone companies and things like that. And I think my favorite work would be before I joined the union when I was starting out, I did voiceover for Japanese animated hentai.
Oh, yes.
I may have heard you.
We may know your work.
We may know your work.
Night Shift Nurses, Clinical Confessions.
Yes, I've seen that.
Are you fucking kidding me?
I'm sorry. I know.
Karen is a fan.
I've seen that. Yes.
I am Ren in Clinical Confessions.
Oh, no.
The English dub version.
I did not know that. And I didn't mean oh, no, in a bad way, but I didn't know.
Have you seriously watched it?
Yes, I have.
Disturbing.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, there's a chapter called Pussy Omelet. And then another chapter called Cell Bone. So let me tell you what. Boy, howdy, that's me.
I'm sure this is back when we used to go.
Your voice is insane. Welcome to my world. I'm really proud of it though. I mean, I did a great job.
Like I said, and because I jump in on the deep end of hentai, sometimes you ran across stuff and I was like, what is this? Hit play. And it's one of those things, y'all, you have to be ready for it. Cause I wasn't ready. I was like, oh no, what the hell is this?
It really is a small world. I mean, honestly.
There was one time I was watching porn on RedTube and I clicked accidentally on it and it was my voice and I was like, oh, oh,
what is that like?
Oh no,
am I even a threesome?
Yeah,
with myself.
That's almost like finding out that you, that's like finding out your sex tape is on the internet or something but not knowing it's you.
I'm proud of it, whatever.
Yeah. Oh no, listen, a check is a check, first of all.
Come on. My work is good.
Number one. Rent is still due on the 5th, and a check is a check. But, no, that's crazy. That's such a small world. Cause, like, when we was first start going to, like, the adult video store, Karen would just be like, I'm gonna get these cartoons. The real people is not, that's not what I'm into. I'm like, that's fine. Like, whatever you want to do. So I'm 100% sure we have heard your work in the past. So
yes, we have.
That's hilarious.
I'm honored. I will sign your DVDs or whatever.
I wonder, do we still have those? I don't even know if we have those. It's been a while.
Around here somewhere.
I went to a porn store to buy it just to have it.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm proud.
Yeah.
Yes,
take a picture with it.
Like, now we're non-union. It was great.
Yeah.
Turn over the credits and highlight your name. Be like, this is me.
I always did wonder who did that.
Fake name, though. Everyone uses a fake name in porn.
Oh.
So they use the first letter of your first name and the first letter of your last name, and you can choose. So I chose Kendall Harrison as opposed to Catherine Heller.
Oh.
Because I like the name Kendall and I love Harrison Ford.
Oh, that makes sense.
When I signed the thing, they were like, choose a name. I was like, I don't know, Kendall Harrison. So if you Google Kendall Harrison, you'll find the catalog.
That's funny that like you could have that as its own IMDb almost. Like, oh, Kendall Harrison, I love their work. Big fan. Mm-hmm. And it's like,
there is a page dedicated to me, I think. I mean, I've only done a couple of things. I did a couple other ones and some tentacle porn and Angel Blade was another one.
I've seen Angel Blade too.
See? Okay.
So going down this road.
Angel Blade. I'm
sorry. Angel Blade is good. Yes!
Oh, the other thing too is like, it's kind of sad because like, who gets, is there like a convention? Do you get to have like,
things
where you show up and sign? Like, I feel like.
Well, I'm just, the American dub, right? So there are people who dress up as the characters, but it's just the dubbing in different countries.
So there's no like American version, or even at anime cons in America, they don't have like that section, I guess. For people to go to.
Oh, yeah, like who did the voice?
Yeah, because I feel like those people deserve recognition. There should be awards. Because listen, a good or bad dub can break a whole fucking like anime, dog.
Yes, it can. Because I'm not gonna lie, and because I watch so many of them, sometimes the translation is terrible. I'm not trying to be funny. Sometimes the voiceover is bad. You be like, English is not. Either English is not your first language, or either if it's your second language, you didn't learn enough to understand the translation and how we talk. Mm-hmm. And so, that's one of those things where it could be really, really horrible. Like I said, and I've watched enough, just like Roger gives a point of sore, you know, this is my lane over here. This is the stuff I watch.
Do you have to, so do they give you the like actual word for word translation? And you gotta match it up with the way the words move on the screen, or
you gotta match the lip flap. So they rewrite the script, because the lip flap is when the characters are like literally like bah, 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 bah.
Right.
So then they rewrite it for that, but you have to watch it while you're doing it. But the majority of it is not dialogue. The majority is just noises.
Right.
You have to watch them and be like, and so you're watching it and you're in a booth with an adult male next to you on like a, you know, the sound engineer thing. And it's like, is this life?
Right.
Are they grunting too? Like, you know, do you play off somebody? Cause you know, me and Roger does voice acting, and sometimes you have your lines and like, you be like, hey, you substitute for the person that's not here. So when you're doing that, do you have somebody on the other end just grunting just to substitute in?
No, they do it separately. It's separate.
That settings. Seems professional.
And the majority of voiceover work for cartoons is separate. They're not in the same room. Like, Archer, they're in different, you know, coast sometimes. Right. You just do it by yourself, and then they cut it together.
Also,
because it's
like,
easier to do that than doing it together, because if one actor fucks up, then you fuck up the entire take. So, yeah. It's kind of cool. It's really kind of art form.
Also, for, like, the studio, the sound engineer guy, it's probably not his dream either. You know, you're, like, you're probably both in there, like, feeling awkward, you know? Or it's like, I don't want to say or do anything creepy. This is... just work. I got four more of these today.
Yeah. And what happened if they want to critique your work? Do they come back and be like, we need a little bit more moaning. We need to be a little higher pitched.
Yep.
Okay. So they do. That makes sense. Cause I was about to say, it's like, cause it's voice over. So I'm pretty sure that do it a little more.
Yeah. And also my voice is very low. I was a smoker for 20 years. I did quit 10 years ago, but I started when I was 16. So I have this like nice sultry voice, but in the anime, they want high pitch. So I go up like 10 octaves. And they're like, higher, you know, more and more. Like, they want little girl voice.
Right. Yeah. It's so weird. They all have the same voice.
Yeah.
Even in, like, the mainstream anime, they all give the women almost all the same voice. And just, like, recently, maybe the last 5 years, you start seeing, like, the more quote-unquote butch character women, where it's like they have a deeper voice. But it's almost always that same, like, like, voice.
Yep. I was also taught to, when somebody opens their eyes when they're shocked, be like, right? So when you watch it again, just check for that, because every director's like, everyone loves this.
Yeah, I when we watch anime on the couch, I do that. Like whenever they, because they always do the reaction shot, like someone says something where, and then repeating someone's name, where it's just like,
yes!
It's like, Inuyasha! And it's like, Kagome! Inuyasha! Kagome! Yes. Over and over. Yes. I'm like, no fucking way that's the dialogue in Japanese.
Of course not.
No one needs to say each other's name 10 times in a row. It's just Americans being like, just say his name.
Say his name 45 times.
Yeah, the majority of my remembered, you know, lines were, doctor,
right.
Doctor. Yeah. Like, we get it. He's a doctor.
Right.
Come on.
Like, mix it up a bit.
Tell us what kind of doctor, ma'am.
Right. Well, obviously a gynecologist. You know?
Yeah, come on, Karen. They're night nurses. They know what's up.
So anyway, about my voiceover work. Yeah, I also do pharma. Anyway.
Yeah. And then... for the like pharma stuff, is it like, so you know, obviously you're doing the, I'm assuming the happy parts, or not, you know, they're like, it cures everything, you're gonna be great, it's gonna be fine. Do they bring in another person to do the sad part, or do you have to do that too?
Yeah, I have to do it too. Yeah.
Oh,
but you
man.
Have to like keep a smile on your face. Like, it may cause diarrhea.
Yeah.
And also, you may die.
Right.
Anyway, who's Doug Strexton?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, Abby. 12 pounds.
Yeah, the ads are so, I mean, obviously it's good for transparency, but the ads are so weird now because, you know, before they made all those laws about how transparent you had to be, you know, back when we were younger, it felt like the ad would only just say the good parts, and then they bring in a real deep voice guy at the very end to be like, may cause death.
I mean, it'd be real low too. It's like you almost have to like listen real hard to say that. And no, now you have to be crystal clear. You can't be fooling people, and you have to speak for the whole last 60 seconds. Got to be you telling them everything wrong.
That was the thing I was gonna say, is the time allotment. It used to be like 45 to 50 seconds of like, this is great, and then like 5 to 10 very fast seconds of just like, hey man, it might make you fucking die, I don't know, man. Just
you have to do it very fast.
And so now though, it feels like the ads will say the like good stuff like regular speed, but then I feel like they say the bad stuff regular speed now too.
They do.
It's longer, like it's
like 2 minutes.
Yeah, like the bad stuff is like 45 seconds and the good stuff was only like 15 seconds, and now you're just sitting in your house like, I don't know if I want to get this drug or not.
I think what I got is good enough, I don't want that.
If you watch the commercial though, that's when they pull the dog out, right?
Yes.
So you're listening, but then all of a sudden there's a dog. There's always a dog in the farmer commercials, and I love that. And it's like playing fetch, and then you start watching that.
Yes.
And then you're like, what'd they just say about diarrhea?
Right. Anyway. Yeah. You're like, you know what? If the dog loves her now, then it doesn't matter. The drugs work.
And she's smiling. She's good.
Yeah. Cause at the beginning, the dog's all like, look at you.
I know. It's disgusting. Sad. It's judging, shaking his head.
Look at you.
The dog is saying, get your shit together. Yeah, get your life together.
Get your life together. What is wrong with you? Get on some drugs. And then at the end, the dog's like, let's go play Frisbee. You're on drugs now. And it's like, you're right. I only notice cause I'm probably on my phone. And then I just look up like, this commercial's still going? And that's when they're just like, it may cause irrational skin bleeding or whatever. You're just like, oh, that sounds terrible.
Right. They'll be like, your eyes might fall out. Your asshole might leak. You might lose your nose in addition to your hearing.
Your father won't love you anymore.
Yes! Right.
But here's video of you and your wife hanging out with your daughter and your dog, and everyone's having a good time, and you're cooking out.
Like they're in a tent.
Yeah,
there's a movie,
you know what, somewhere. They
and the whole time,
it's all happy at the end too, everybody's you know, if it's one about, you know, sex, they all like either holding hands, gazing each other's eyes, or I put like this, I love the one where they have like two tubs,
yeah,
and like they in the two different tubs holding hands. I was like, oh, so we can't put them in the same tubs now.
That's my favorite. I love the old people fucking drugs.
It's like what is this,
because
Flintstones
at the beginning, it's always like they show the woman looking at him kind of like, oh, it's a shame you can't give me no dick tonight. And then by the end, it's like,
yes!
It's like, oh, they definitely fuck. Like, they do everything except show them like with a cigarette
yes!
in bed.
You know
wearing, like, she's wearing his t-shirt making eggs or whatever the fuck. Like,
you know what?
They're like, these old people are getting it in.
Yes,
now.
And those commercials trip me out because at first they looking at each other like, they just fought about something, like they just fell out about something really horrible, and everybody's looking at each other all mean, and she's looking at, you know, this is why I thought about fucking your brother, and he's like, oh, I wish I could get my dick up. And then all of a sudden it was like, you know what, I forgive you too, let's go fuck, and then let's be in two separate tubs. You're like, this makes you know, this
I
commercial.
I want to start a pharmaceutical company called just Cunnilingus, like, mm-hmm. Can't get it up, why don't you just fucking go
right.
down on
yeah
it?
Guess what, there's nothing in this bottle
of anything.
There's nothing in this bottle. We're just, you open the bottle, there's instructions on how to, like, find a clitoris. That's all you need.
It shows you where it is.
Doesn't cause diarrhea. Doesn't cause, bleeding.
Right.
We're good.
And you know what the instructions say? The instructions say, under the hood. It's under the hood, guys.
Right.
You have to make it come out. It's actually hid. It's hid really well. Once
she'll
you
like
make
it
come out.
Yeah. She'll
then
like
you
it
go to
too.
Town.
But that is interesting, the drug ads thing. Cause like another thing I like now is, like my favorite one is, Truvada for PrEP, because that commercial actually seems like it's gonna start a spoken word, or like a video's gonna break out.
Yes!
Like it's so cool. Like you forget it's for a drug. It's like step up, prep up, boom, boom, psh, boom, and it's just like all these like amazingly stunning looking people just yeah. being like, I'm on Truvada for prep, you need to get this shit. Boom, boom.
Yes, I was like, what kind of life are you living? I want your life.
Right. Oh, that's the best one. Every
I took Truvada for prep and all of a sudden I became somebody. I was like, well, I want to be somebody too.
They should just copy that for all the ads. It's just, yeah, all of them should be that.
Those couples are so cute though, and they're real life couples. Mm-hmm. But notice the dog comes out. You remember the dog's getting a bath?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You gotta bring the dog out during, I mean, cause it's got a long list of things, you know, so you gotta bring the dog out. I didn't even think about that, but now I'll never not see
you. I'm gonna be looking for the dogs from now on. I'm gonna be looking for the dogs. And sometimes they throw random children in there. If they can't get a dog, they just throw a random baby in the background, somebody picking up or looking at it or throwing a stick like you throw a stick at the dog.
So what they got you doing now, Catherine? I mean, I feel like bartending is probably, well, in New York, y'all have the vaccine passport thing. So can you still like go be a bartender and all that stuff?
I don't bartend anymore. I stopped doing that years ago, but I'm working in a show right now and I'm also producing podcasts.
Yes.
So I am at now performing in a live show with the New York Neo-Futurists, a theater company that's been around. They started in Chicago 30 plus years ago. In New York for 17 years now, San Francisco for about 8 years, and now in London for 5, I think. And we perform weekly, and we're back in person, and we are checking vax cards and stuff. And the performers on stage do not wear masks during the show. Right. The audience is supposed to, but, you know, it's still weird. It's still, you know, we have a HVAC system. We're still, like, at small capacity in the theater, but it's you know, we're still working through it.
Oh, that feels good. Cause
when we did our live show, it was like mask, limited capacity. Mm-hmm. Even though the venue said we could have filled, we were like no. Also,
we got responsible fans.
Yeah, I was gonna say, do you know our fans? There's no fucking way.
Yeah, our fans are really amazing. Yeah. Our audience is just like a bunch of cool kids who get it.
Yeah. I'm like, they're not gonna be in here all packed in, but it was so cool because everything backstage, it was very like, put your mask on, social distance, everyone was vaccinated. Like, it was cool. It was, and so I feel like performance can still go on in that type of environment, and people will find a way. So that's dope.
And they test us weekly, which is why I have all these amazing things, which I will eventually write a play about at some point.
Those look like lollipops. I know they're not, but like a flower bouquet.
Lollipops for your nose.
Yeah, yes.
But it's cool. The theater company I'm with is so supportive and wonderful. And if at any point we're uncomfortable with anything, we don't have to perform, you know, we can dip out. And they pay for our testing if we have to pay for, you know, so it's all really supportive.
That is dope. Mm-hmm. Well, that's cool. Since you're a fan of the show, I thought we could do some show stuff with you. We can get into some of our segments and stuff.
Do that.
All right. I feel like we kind of talked about coronavirus already, but there is some more like coronavirus news.
Okay.
So I am going to do the coronavirus news segment. Let me play the song.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Coronavirus.
Again? Look, here we go again. We got variants. Really need to keep a mask on hand and follow the plan. Get the vaccine and second shots, whether woman or man. Black eye who tips is doing their part, but the dummies expand. Niggas would rather believe a bunch of misinformation. Fuck y'all idiots not getting shots. Now we gotta regress. If we keep going in this direction, we never can rest. Never can get back to the lives we be living the best. Damn fool, stop the lying. Stop the intubation crying. Cause it's your fault that motherfuckers dying. Huh? Damn fool, stop the lying. Stop the ventilator crying, cause it's your fault the motherfuckers dying. I do not understand this shit. I'm not a fan of this. We were like one win from the pandemic championship, but fuckers wanna leave it to game 7 with Giannis Antetokounmpo blocking forward progression and Chris middle fingers to your plans, man. Damn. Looks like it's no Drew Holiday for you and your mans. I'm sick of black people dying for real, so I'm just writing this new piece to let you know how I feel. Coronavirus, yeah. Fuck that COVID-19. It's unseen, it's creeping in the air for you to breathe, yeah. huh? So fuck that COVID-19. It's unseen. It's creeping in the air for you to breathe. Yeah. Coronavirus.
Long COVID risk is no lower with breakthrough infection. COVID-19 survival improves for European cancer patients. This is a Reuters, I think is how you pronounce it, article.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's one of the things people have been thinking about with, like, oh, breakthrough infections, does it change the risk of, like, the long COVID? You know, for people, like, maybe you won't get long COVID symptoms and stuff. But according to this, I want to say it's not peer reviewed yet, but this paper that was published, they were saying that while, you know, it is lower chance that you would get sick, lower chance for hospitalization and stuff, if you have like long COVID, you could have a 6-month like thing. So for 6 months, researchers tracked 9,479 vaccinated individuals diagnosed with COVID-19 and about the same number of infected patients who had not been vaccinated. Compared to the unvaccinated patients, people with so-called breakthrough infections were at a much lower risk of severe complications of COVID-19, such as the need to be admitted to intensive care, requiring breathing assistance, or develop a blood clot in their legs or their lungs, which obviously is all reasons to get vaccinated. But other complications of the virus, including the syndrome of lingering symptoms known as long COVID, occurred at similar rates regardless of vaccination status. So if you did have a breakthrough and, and like, even if you didn't need like, whatever, but you had like some of these longer things, the, brain fog and stuff like that, there's still a risk of that even with being vaccinated. And people over the age of 60 with breakthrough infections, vaccines protected against COVID-19 complications only weekly or not at all. Vaccines are still an excellent way to prevent any complication of COVID-19, including long COVID, since they prevent infection in the first place. However, these findings show that those who get infected despite being vaccinated should remain vigilant about potential complications of their illness. And then, the other thing that was weird about this article is, cause that was like the first part. And that's, you know, hey, even if you're vaccinated, wear your mask, you know, be careful where you go, social distance if you can. But COVID-19 survival has improved for European cancer patients. So I feel like we're getting better at treating it. Mm-hmm. You know, the doctors are getting better, cause I mean, it was brand new and there was nothing you could do, 2 years ago.
Right.
So they're getting better at survivability, and cancer is a pre-existing condition. So seeing that people that have cancer, that have COVID, are surviving at higher rates now.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, that's dope. And I mean, hopefully it gives people some hope, because it's starting to me to feel like we're going to have to live with this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be like, how do we mitigate, you know, one, spreading it, but then how do we learn to like treat it? Cause I think we blew it, guys. That's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. Well, like I said, you know, it's a virus, right?
Right.
So if you had chickenpox as a kid and you get shingles when you're 50, we just don't know yet.
Exactly.
And as far as mine, I've been a long hauler now. I still have one thing that kept, most of them went away after I got vaccinated. Right. I had really bad gastro stuff, like really, really, really bad. Yeah. And it's gross. But the one thing that will not go away is I have permanent tinnitus in my left ear, where it's a constant whirring sound. And there's no cure for it. They can't do surgery. They can't do anything. They just say you have to get used to it. So I've learned how to get used to it.
That's what I've heard. Yeah. There was a dude that had it real bad. And I want to say he like died by suicide or something like that. And like,
I heard about that. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, he wrote, like, I was like, yeah, we don't know what the fuck this shit is. Like, this shit's scary. You know what I mean? But there are some people that say, you know what? Not scary enough, such as this next gentleman.
Uh-oh.
An LA firefighter wipes his butt and leaves fecal matter on a COVID-19 vaccine mandate letter.
What, did he get arrested for indecent exposure?
Well, he's in hot water after wiping his butt with a COVID-19 vaccination non-compliance letter in front of others. Even worse, the man left fecal matter on the note before tossing to the ground. So I assume he did not. So do you plan for that, or are you just always dirty down there? What is going on with that?
I've been at a toilet paper before and gone to measures. Yeah. Like that, but I feel like that was a message.
Yeah.
And maybe he couldn't work anywhere.
He's like, you know what? I'm gonna eat Chipotle before this meeting because I want to make a statement.
Do we fire you on the spot? I don't get this.
I went and ordered 12 big beef Mexi melts, and I got something to say tonight. So.
And you know what? He took show your ass literally. When people go like, I'm gonna show my ass, he was like, no, you understand? I am really gonna show you my whole ass. He's like, oh, you meant that. You know, I was just talking about somebody acting a fool, but this is not what I wanted.
The incident occurred November 18th at Fire Station 69.
What a name!
Sorry.
Fire Station 69!
Yes.
Got one through.
In Pacific California. Let's let Karen get it out, everybody.
Yes, I am 12. Fire Station 69
feels like it could be the name of a movie that is like a, you know, those old school movies like that they don't make anymore, like Porky's or Super Troopers.
Yeah,
Fire Station 69 could be the title of the next one of those.
Yes. We'll do the voiceover for it.
Yes. In a world.
Officer. Fire Station double penetration.
Right. Night nurses and firefighters.
Yes!
Fire Station 69. So, Los Angeles Fire Department captain and chief officer witnessed the incident after the man was handed the letter. The Stentorians of Los Angeles City, an organization that represents African American firefighters, confirmed the incident in a statement to the board fire commissioners and city officials, which includes an image of the stained letter.
What? Can you imagine opening up an email going, what the hell is this? Before it's
who had to take
was not safe for work. You got to put that at the beginning of the letter.
Who had to take the picture?
Right.
Oh my God. No.
I want to see this movie now.
is it somewhere in a plastic bag in the evidence locker room?
It has to be. Someone had to like put on gloves and touch that and put it in a bag. And take a picture and send it to everybody as evidence.
And give it a number. Evidence 3,453. Put it on shelf 12.
They had to put on one of those firefighter suits with the mask on it where you can't breathe smoke. But just to take a picture of that shitty note.
Oh no.
Does he still have a job? I'm sorry, go on.
Yeah.
I hope not.
They call the incident a horrific display of unprofessionalism.
No, just call it what it is, a shitty situation. Why y'all playing around with people and their emotions?
The group demanded that the department and the city take action so that no other employees were motivated to carry out such a disrespectful act. But what? What action could they take? You see what I'm saying? Like,
nobody want to confront you because they were like, you haven't washed your hands, sir.
The group demanded the department and the city take action so no other employees are motivated. One, no offense, I have a feeling no one else is going to be motivated to do that. So if that's your worry, I think that guy's a one-off. But secondly, like, what the fuck could you do? Hey, could you please not shit on the letter? That's the reason he did it is because he's the kind of person that would be like, oh, now I'm a double shit. Like, oh, now I'm a shit and piss on the letter. Like, you can't plan for these kind of people. Something's wrong with him. A LA
if
fire.
If I did that at any job I ever worked at, I'd be fired on the spot.
On the spot.
Right.
But listen, these are heroes. They're brave heroes and they're saving us and they get the shit on letters. LAFD spokeswoman Cheryl Gutierrez confirmed that the firefighter is now paid administrative leave. Oh, thank God.
Oh, so we're gonna pay you to do this?
I'm just glad he got his money, you know. And will face appropriate he's on paid administrative leave and will face appropriate consequences, though she would not elaborate.
Which means nothing, because I guarantee you.
No, they're going to go to his house and shit on his mail.
This was not written in a negotiation, trust. Whenever they was coming up, when they was trying to, you know, go back and forth with the union, this situation never came up. So actually nobody knows how to properly handle
it. Well, they said it'll be appropriate consequences. I think they get to go shit on some stuff he owns and
be at home for a month and then come back.
Call it even, you know? Next firefight, you know, he has to carry the hose or whatever and move on.
Could you imagine the jokes? Now they got to call you shitty boy. I mean, come on. That's what you're going to be known as. That's what you know how people make nicknames for people.
I don't know, Karen.
They don't give him a hose, but they make him shit the fire out. Like, yeah. All right.
Open her up.
Go in.
They pick him up and aim him at the fire. but I think it'll be interesting because to some of those people, he's going to be a hero or whatever.
Right. That's why they don't want this to happen again.
I think it's also interesting that it was only the black firefighter division that reported him. You know, it sounds like the black people were the ones that was like, that's nasty.
And
like,
it's not appropriate.
Y'all need to do something about this shit. Mm-hmm.
So imagine if they wouldn't have been in there, that shit would have slid and nobody would have reported on that man.
Yeah, it would have slid. That's correct. but nah, it's just, I
could help myself.
But I think, it's interesting that it would fall along racial lines. That's just, like, cause I think that's happening a lot of this police stuff, a lot of the quote unquote political divide. Mm-hmm. A lot of that stuff is racial lines, like, and so, it's, you know, as much as the police are like, we're not racist, it's like, why y'all gotta have an African American division of the police force, right? Cause they dealing with some shit. Obviously, they wouldn't be grouping together just to hang out. They're over there like, dude, you experiencing, you see this racism? So I guess even with fire departments, they gotta have the black people get together and be like, we won't tolerate y'all shitting on the letters. That's a bit too far.
Right.
Literally dealing with some shit.
Literally. You know?
Yes.
My friend growing up was her dad was a fire chief, and he is one of, like, he would say the N-word all the time, and they were so racist, and, you know, it really is.
Yeah.
I think we already know the preaching of the choir, but it's huge.
I appreciate the inside information because I always just assume, you know, because I don't really hang out with white people and I've never been close enough for them to be like, actually, Rod, I'm pretty racist. And I'm like, oh no, like I've never had that.
Yeah, I've never had the surprise like that.
I've had to pick up the context clues and be like, oh, so you kind of racist. So yeah, I appreciate the inside information.
I'm happy to share. I have a lot of information.
Yeah.
People tell me things. Yeah. They tell me things like, you know, white person.
Right.
Like, go on.
Right. You're like, ooh, okay, so you racist. Okay. And you just thought that was cool to say to me. Okay. All right. Cool. Well,
that happens all the time. Also, I'm like, I'm not technically Jewish. I mean, like half because family and stuff.
Right.
My mother's Catholic. My father comes from a Jewish-ish side of the family. I've had so many people be like, you know, those Jews. And it's like,
Yeah.
It happens.
One time I was playing basketball with this dude, and he was always kind of a weird dude to me anyway. But we're playing basketball, and this is like right after Trump got elected or something. And this dude is so dark-skinned. Like, he's a white dude looking, but... like, you know, that kind of sounds so racist, but off-white, like where you're like, you something, I don't know.
You got some brown in there.
Clearly,
somewhere.
There's enough melanin in you that keeps you.
Like, this is not a suntan.
It's the dead of winter and you are constantly brown. So.
Yes, you didn't lighten back up.
Yeah. And so I just knew he was something, but I'm not really a person that obsesses over that. It doesn't.
Right.
I'm never like, so where are you from? I don't give a fuck. We're playing basketball. So we were playing basketball and he was just like, yeah, man, you know, Trump won. I mean, I don't really agree with a lot of stuff, but I mean, he is going, you know, there's some things you do got to agree with. And I was like, no, Pat, there's nothing I have to agree with. He was like, well, you know, he going to keep them Mexicans out. And I was like, Pat, you're not Mexican. He was like, no. And I was like, well, Pat, no one's going to know that. Until the police have you like on the ground is when they'll be like, oh sir, oh I didn't realize your last name was, you know, Italian or whatever. I was like, how are you racist? You shouldn't get to be racist. You could easily be mistaken for the races that you for the race that you're racist against.
Right.
What the fuck?
They'll throw you in there with the rest of them.
So that's the only time I think I fell into the trusted circle. And then when I said that was bullshit, he stopped trusting me. So oh well. New Jersey nursing home with high COVID related deaths is operating under a new name. Oh, the Facebook Meta approach. Okay. Yeah.
It still don't erase what you did. What? So scrap what we did before. We're just going, what they was like, oh, we under new management.
Change the name.
Same shit of service, new management.
They had 83 patients die of COVID-19 and 17 bodies were stacked in the tiny morgue at the time, and it's changed its name, but 17? It's still it's changed its name, but it's still owned and operated by the same people. Andover sub subacute too, I don't know if that's how you pronounce this, is now called Woodland Behavioral and Nursing Center, but it's still in operation. Mm-hmm. Lewis Schwartz, one of the owners, was previously part of a nursing home chain called Skyline Healthcare. It collapsed in 2019 after being accused of financial mismanagement and neglect.
Oh, so you just gonna ruin this name too? Cause, you know, people gonna be like, oh, y'all just smacked a new coat of paint. It's still the same company, and people gonna leave bad reviews over there too?
Right. Like when you
they
come in.
They call themselves Facebook.
Yeah.
Take it back.
They should, yeah.
You know? Yes, take it back.
They should take what the other companies put down. You know, we're Enron now. Enron Nursing Home. The individuals that ran Skyline should not ever be in charge of nursing home again, and yet they are, said David Grabowski, a professor of healthcare policy at Harvard Medical School. Different names, same practices, he said. Yeah, that's so weird that they just get to do that.
Mm-hmm. How?
I don't know. I mean, I guess it's not
New Jersey, right?
Yeah, New Jersey. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember the story that when they found 17 bodies in one morgue. It's like, are you, why, yeah, I remember when that came out, it was really disturbing. It was like,
can they just be like, my bad?
Yeah. I mean, I'm pretty sure they're being sued. Like, I would sue you.
Yeah. Like, who's the person that, like, is there somebody where they're like, yeah, my grandma was in the old home, but nah, that was subacute too. This is, Woodland. So you thinking about, yeah, same building, same address, same room. Yeah, but you thinking about the one where they fucked up and all them people died. I'm talking about the new one.
Mm-mm. You know what? I wonder how they found out. I wonder if somebody came looking for their family member and they kept giving them runaround. Somebody's like, hey, I've been checking on my family member. I can't never see the body. Like, I guarantee that's what happened. People's like, hey, I know my grandma in here and they won't let me see her. Something wrong.
Well, they locked down those things. I don't know if you remember back then, they locked that all down. The nursing homes were the first thing to get locked down in all these states. So, and it was the place where people were dying the most. So I don't even think it was like a mystery. You know what I mean? Like a runner. I think it was just like, yeah, they dead. That's like,
your person
is in here because you can't come in and see them. Remember, at the time it was like, this is the one place that's locked down, and before vaccines, a lot of times the nurse practitioners were the ones bringing it in, so right. It was just like a tinder box for just, it was terrible.
Okay, that makes
sense. I could understand, hey, that's gonna happen. Some of these nursing homes, even if you were careful, it's really out of your control. There were times we didn't know enough about it and we were treating it like the flu, like don't touch anything. But you set the record. You right. Probably don't get to just do no. Be back in
it's
business.
It's like, what, you want these bodies off your property? Like, that's the part I don't get.
Well, those bodies are gone now. This is, they just changed the name. At the time that was happening, there weren't even places to put bodies.
Right.
You know,
right,
hospitals okay, had okay. It was terrible. And I think it's interesting that they were so prolifically bad. And just think a name change.
Yeah, they was like, you broke the record. They was like, whoa. You know what we got guys do? Just change the, keep the same team. Let's
right.
Just change the name.
Right.
You think they just finally Googled themselves and were like, aw. Yeah. Oh, no.
There's a lot of bad Yelp reviews.
A lot of one stars.
Oh, we got to change the name.
We got to clean this up.
And the last news, which is the biggest news. And it's early on this, so I want everybody to take a deep breath. Okay. We're all prone to panic right now, but I think it's good to take a deep breath and relax, because if you've been
stretch a little bit,
if you've been doom scrolling, you've probably already seen this news, and if you've been reading threads by people on, you're probably like, why aren't I dead already? But the U.S. announces a new travel ban because there's a new COVID variant called the Omicron variant, which of course, sounds like a Transformer, you know. But also for Futurama fans, which I don't know how many there are, but Omicronians. That was like an alien race.
It was.
So as one of the people that watches Futurama on repeat, finally, this knowledge is worth something. But yeah, so there's this version that was found in South Africa. People are calling it the South African brand, like it's the origin there, but
yeah, they was like,
every person has informed everybody on social media with the everyone became a social studies teacher, because it was like, listen, just because they found it there doesn't mean it originated there. South Africa has one of the most complicated advanced testing communities in the world, because they had to deal with the HIV crisis. Mm-hmm. So basically they are the ones who found it, which is like a landmark scientific achievement, but it's being treated like, oh, those dirty Africans, by people who don't understand. Don't go to South Africa, you gonna get the Omicron or whatever. It's like, that's not how it
and
works.
Reported it. They're the first continent that reported it,
right?
You know, there are a couple of countries in Africa that finally said, yeah, here's the thing we found,
right?
And there's a lot of countries that did not report it. So
exactly,
that's, I'm so glad you brought that up. Yeah,
so that's been a big thing. Also, it was funny because like South Africa is the one part of Africa where to me, if people talk bad about South Africa, I'm like, I understand, they've done some things. like if they would have said like Nigeria, I probably would have been like, now hold up, man, y'all can't just be calling this. But there was like the South African variant, I was like, karma, I don't know, just it's not y'all's fault, but y'all gotta take this L, y'all done some things. But yeah, the White House announced restrictions from visiting certain countries. It's already been identified as South Africa, Botswana, Israel, Hong Kong, Belgium, Thursday, the United Kingdom, Canada, and multiple countries announced similar travel limitations on South Africa and surrounding areas. What's weird about this travel ban is it doesn't affect American residents or permanent U.S. residents, which the virus don't care.
I hope you know it don't check your passport. Yeah. I hope they realize that.
It's so weird it's so obvious that America, we are essentially held back by this group of people that is just like, I don't give a fuck. I'm American and I'm gonna do what I wanna do. Mm-hmm. And because of that shit, we can't do like the right thing and be like, listen, testing everybody, and until we figure out what's going on with this, nobody can come home. I'm sorry, but, or you can't leave or whatever, like, or you gotta get tested and you gotta quarantine, you know. Mm-hmm. It's gonna be inconvenient, but we need to do this in order to get this thing in. It's like, no, we can't even do that. So if you're American, you get to do whatever the fuck you want. Everybody else, you have to follow some rules, and it's still gonna get in the country that way.
Mm-hmm. I also love how all the other countries, within a second of South Africa being like, oh, here's a thing, they're like, oh, fetch me my clutching pearls. Yeah. And my fainting pouch, we have it too. It's like, oh cool, where were you?
Right.
And you thought, and had already had it.
Yes, I was hearing the news this morning that like it makes countries not want to report it, because then it looks like, oh, you're the this variant, you're the mm-hmm. this country variant. Whereas South Africa was like, we just did the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
And not, like 2 seconds later, Europe is like, it's here too.
It's all about,
when did you know that?
It's like, it's all about branding or something. You know what I mean? Like the brand of America, we don't have those weird, crazy viruses like these other countries, or, you know, here in Canada, we would never have. And it's like, guys, there's a new variant in South Africa. Well, actually, we have it too. Okay. It's basically herpes. Everybody in the world has it. We just, no one likes to talk about it, but now that you said it, we all got it. Okay.
Yeah. And the worst part about it, we might actually have all these variations, but we don't actually do the testing like we should to actually trace this.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, but don't panic yet, guys. We really don't know shit about this. We just know that it has, I want to say it has more mutations than any other variant so far. We do not know if it's more contagious, if it's more deadly, if it can get around vaccines. Yeah. We literally don't. Everybody calm down. We've gone through this a few times now. Mm-hmm. Breathe. With a mask on, breathe and just relax, and we'll find out more, and you know, we'll cover it on the show, because mm-hmm. I think I'm so tired of it. I don't know, but on social media, when this happens, the doom and gloom is just like, you know, so heavy. Like it was like, I saw people being like, and this is why you shouldn't give out boosters because da da da. I was like, argument could also be, this is why you should give out boosters if you have them, you know, like this. You can make the other argument too, which is like this. I mean, obviously there's a bunch of reasons why it's not even really about boosters. It's about all this corporate like trademark shit that, mm-hmm. that they won't let other countries and people just like, that's some bullshit. I don't mm-hmm. know why you can't just bootleg the vaccine. Far be it from me, I'm not a scientist, I don't know shit about it, but yeah, it just seemed like
country laws, yeah,
it just seemed patents. Like somebody should be able to, like, I don't know, take a squirt of that shit and then be like, oh, this ain't nothing but got some paprika in it, and just fucking like backwards do the recipe mm-hmm. and just steal it, you know. Yeah, I feel like if you stole the vaccine recipe and gave it to all of Africa, yeah, sue me. You know, see you in court. What? I saved the world, motherfucker. Okay.
Well, the fact that we still don't know what's in Coca-Cola, they kept that a secret for so long.
Yeah.
You know, that's weird. Cocaine. But also, let's remind ourselves that the Delta variant, which we do know more about, is right. still out there.
Yes.
It's really deadly. So, like, let's be scared of the actual – there's a great saying – don't be scared of the wolf in the woods. Be scared of the wolf at your door.
Yes.
We all know that's there.
And you know what right? else?
So the wolf in the woods, we don't know yet. Sure, fine. It might find our door. Delta's here.
Yes. And what else is weird about it is when these variants come out, this is when people go get vaccinated, which is so... Mm-hmm. I mean, thank God. But man, you was really holding out, huh? Like, that's what happened with Delta. Like... people were like, the Delta variant exists. Everybody was like, I don't give a fuck, whatever. Then it was like, them numbers starting to go up. And then it was like, I'm gonna go ahead and get vaccinated.
Mm-hmm. They said that's why some of the numbers went up. Cause a lot of people was like, oh, people are actually dying from this? Because.
So weird. Why are you waiting till the last second? Why would you procrastinate on this?
People are selfish and self-centered.
Yeah.
And in America, I'll note jokes aside, it's a lot of people that have died. 700,000. Okay. Yeah. Plus the ones that they've counted. But you still have a lot of our populace who has not been directly impacted, which means themselves, right. none of their immediate family has caught it. So as far as they're concerned, it doesn't matter.
All right, let's get to some other news, y'all. We've done coronavirus.
Mm-hmm.
A group of thieves stole hammers, crowbars, and other tools from California Home Depot.
Oh.
Yeah. Like, what is going on with the...
Why are you sticking up Home Depot?
10 people just went in and started stealing shit on Friday night. I remember when flash mobs used to be like, let's go to this town square and we would dance together. What the fuck happened to flash mobs? They brought them back and now they just stealing shit.
What is up with this? They did this at the mall and shit like that. Like, mm-hmm. Why are you doing this? So now when I go to Home Depot, I gotta act like go through TSA now and shit because they like one person in at a time. Because y'all want to go flash mob and all I want to do is get a hammer and get out.
They stole hammers, sledgehammers, crowbars, and other tools. Then they ran out of the store, got into their getaway car that was parked outside. 10 people got into their getaway car. Was this a fucking clown robbery? How is that even pop? They must have been multiple cars or something.
Had to. Did they take all the tags off of me? Because people going to find y'all.
18 people, we talked about that. The 18 people broke into Nordstrom,
mm-hmm.
at least 18 in Los Angeles on Monday. San Francisco and Chicago have had similar crimes. I don't know.
Yeah, it's very frustrating. And we might talk about this. All you're going to do is now you're going to have an oversaturation of police. And so now you're going to have people just minding their business. And all of a sudden, everybody's going to fit the description. And you're like, oh, shit, I just want to shop.
Right.
I just want some Lush for my face. I didn't know I was going to get you too, officer.
Well, in addition to that, authorities are also looking for drivers who picked up cash on the California highway.
Oh, because it was, I don't know who this white girl was, but some white girl decided to turn the camera and show everybody picking up cash. It was like, why are you doing this, ma'am?
Why yeah. was there cash on the highway?
So I believe it was a armored car that fell and the door opened up or something and the cash came out, and so then people were doing this.
I mean, yeah, I do that.
Dog, in 4K, you gotta cover your face.
Literally everybody stop on the freeway to get money off of the freeway. This is literally insane. This is insane! Oh my gosh! Yo, the entire freeway just shut down. It's threw money. He's gone.
Wow.
He's gone, bro.
I got a one, that poor driver. He's definitely getting fired. That's probably why he just left the truck.
On the couch, though, because then you get paid leave.
Yeah.
See?
That was his problem. But that dude, it looked like that dude just got out the car, walked away like, I know this is over. This job ain't, I had one job, literally.
That's all. Could you imagine going down the street and all of a sudden, you'd be like, is it raining? What is that trickling behind the back of my truck?
Well, my thing is this though, like, one, I think this is adorable. Like, but it's also like the whitest thing I've ever seen to be on camera. Like, we got some money. Cause I think
that's a definitely white.
I immediately like mask up, put my hoodie on them, put some shades on them. Like, I know this is definitely a crime, but, I need this cash. You know what I mean? But they were just like, yay, money. What's the worst thing that could happen?
To jail. Go to jail. they trust. They have labeled all of that money.
Oh man. Those poor people.
Also, going back to the lootings, I see all these white people without masks on. Also, we're in a pandemic because, like, you have an excuse to wear a mask. You know, you don't have to
be
in public. You could just put it on.
And there's so many of these. That I actually had another article with this. Hold on, I might be able to pull it up. But on Black Friday, people started doing the flash mob Black Friday robbery.
What?
Yeah, flash mob thieves target U.S. retail stores on Black Friday.
They're gonna make stores shut down again.
Yeah.
Presence at malls and shopping centers across the U.S. this Black Friday weekend amid a spike of so-called smash and grab robberies. Videos of the chaotic robberies showing masked figures breaking into stores, running out with bags of merchandise, and fleeing in cars idling outside have flooded social media in recent days. The Los Angeles Police Department confirmed to local media that a California location of luxury Italian merchandiser Bottega Veneta was the site of a robbery Friday. And this store, selling designer jeans, was forced to close its doors after it was hit on Friday night as well. Mall operators and shopkeepers are taking note and are doing what they can, says Louis Chalais of Westfield Century City in L.A.
We're monitoring the situation with the smash and grab robberies across the country very closely. We have a great relationship with LAPD and local authorities and are working very closely with them to make sure that we're prepared.
The brazen robberies started at high-end shops like Nordstrom early in the week, but now the robberies are spreading to more middle-of-the-road retailers as well.
Almost movie-like, Hollywood-like.
In Chicago, three shops were looted on Black Friday and just...
First of all, it's a little insulting to Target that you would call them mid-level, but okay, fine. But also, it's interesting that they're like, we're prepared, okay? We deal with the police. Bro, if 15 people come in there with hammers, one's prepared.
They got the store.
Y'all, there's no amount... You just gotta be like, yeah, y'all, I'm not Mr. Target. I'm not fucking Rod Nordstrom. Take the shit. I'm not dying for this fucking company that's going to replace me the second I get hit upside the head with a hammer. Get out of here.
About an hour. First, it was a Foot Locker, then North Face, followed by Boost Mobile. The retail industry is nervous about the spate of...
Why would you steal from Boost Mobile? You're not going to have no signal. Okay.
Past Sugar Creek Road.
Y'all going to rob Cricket Wireless next? I mean, come on. Sorry, my Cricket Wireless people, that was just a joke.
Robberies, which are happening at a time when retailers are trying to recoup dollars lost during the health crisis while grappling with product shortages at the most important shopping season of the year.
So yeah, this is happening a lot, it seems.
Hey baby, mm-hmm. It sounds like we're getting an echo that we got with Justin.
We're getting an echo, everybody? Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. I know why. Mm-hmm. That's my fault. Mm-hmm. It won't happen again. That's my fault. Behind the scenes technical shit, y'all don't need to know. Anyway, won't happen again. But yeah, so they robbing people, including regular stores now. It's not all luxury brands, it's not all
and my Nordstrom thing is, how can you be prepared? Like, if I'm in there, you know, masked up, because I'm one of the few people, because I said this before, I can say this again, when you have, you know, 700,000 people die, these people are gone now, and a lot of these people had these jobs. So when you have the people that's like, you know what, y'all paying decent amount of money, I show up for work and it's like, you know, maybe 10 of us in there and all of a sudden 50 people showing there. We're not prepared for that. The store is theirs. Like, right. I don't know what about that y'all don't understand.
And for $15 an hour, I'm still not dying for Target.
No, they can have the whole store.
All right, let's do one more segment that I love to do when we have certain guests on.
Mm-hmm.
It's a segment we like to call White People News.
White people news. We're bringing egg salad to the barbecue. We might be problematic or a little bit thin. The sun really hard on a fragile finish. White people news.
And now with 100% more white people, we may actually know some people involved in the stories now. We have a slight chance. So white people news. Let's cover this whiter news. It's just news that white people are interested in. It doesn't have to only be news about white people. Jason Sudeikis, who y'all may know as Ted Lasso.
Okay.
I watched season one. I still need to catch up on season two. I'm sorry, everybody. But he apparently keeps lassoing Keely Hazel into his life, and that is his co-actor on that show.
Ted Lasso.
Yeah. So this is them. Now he says they're not dating. He's always putting it down, but this feels like a kiss. Okay. I mean, if I was a studio audience, I'd be like, woo! Cause that looks like a kiss to me. So I don't know if they're dating or not, but that looks very like dating behavior. And they're on the beach and she's got a bikini on. Sources previously told us the actors are just friends after being spotted on a hike together in September, but this time there is proof in the PDA. Mm-hmm. He's 46 and she's 35, so age appropriate, you know. This isn't that bad. We've seen, you know, much, much worse in Hollywood. It is interesting that, like, acting is the one place where, like, you can date your coworker and the rest of the world's like, yes, dope.
Anyway, else, most people are like, don't do that.
May or may not have dated somebody I know and maybe shouldn't tell the story, but this is many years ago. And the way she found out that he was cheating on her was she opened up Us Weekly and he had said, oh yeah, I can't go out tonight and they were in a serious relationship.
Yeah.
It's like, I can't go out tonight because I'm not feeling well. And there was a picture of him at a basketball game with another lady.
Oh.
And he's like, oh, my PR person made me do that. And she's like, I smell bullshit.
Yeah. Oh,
not that thing's a bad dude. I mean, this is years ago. He's hilarious. Wow. I love his work. But, I mean, you know,
listen, he could be a bad dude. It don't matter. But, I mean, you know, it's not like that's not why I watch Ted Lasso, you know, like all these people better be good people, you know, so I
love the show. It is what it is. Men are going to men, women are going to women. It happens.
But it's always so weird though. Cause, Chris Brown, that's how Chris Brown cheated on, Karrueche Tran. She found out that, he was like, I can't go out tonight. She looked on TV. He's on the Lakers game in the front row.
What is it about the Lakers game that makes them?
you don't think they're going to put the camera on you? It's like people to get caught by the kiss cam. You didn't think they was going to put the camera on you at the game?
Let me tell you something. Don't date people that sit front row at Lakers games. That's just a general rule for me. You know, but that's a deal breaker to me. They're like, I'm going to the Lakers game front row. I'm like, oh no,
I won't be going.
Cut this off with who?
I feel like if I'm in a relationship, I wouldn't go to the Lakers game with a hot male model or someone else.
Yeah.
And have my picture taken without telling my partner that I was doing that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Even for PR.
Is that one time you'd be like, you know what? Let's do the 200 sections. We're not going to be down low. We're going to be where if they catch us, they got to focus.
So technically there could be some woman out there finding out through, People magazine or Page Six, like, what, Keely? What? They were just friends. He said he was going to get some milk. Cause he's also been spotted with her in, Cabo. So this is pretty serious now. This is a romantic getaway at this point. You're traveling the country and you're hanging out with your co-star and she's wearing nothing but bikinis and stuff. That's pretty serious, Jason. Hope he's not breaking hearts again. I really hate to see that, you know. Oh, Jason, you dirty, dirty boy.
I like that sweater.
It is a pretty nice sweater. You know, they like to have a great time, you know. So, hopefully it's on the up and up now. But the whole thing of they're just friends does make me think like there's some lady out there going, you know. Lindsay Lohan.
I know who that one is.
She just announced that she is engaged to Badr Shamus.
Who?
Badr Shamus. Can. I think he's a Sith Lord or something. I don't know. He sounds like a Star Wars character. Badr Shamus. So this is their picture together. And they look happy.
Yes, they do.
You know, he's a good looking guy. And yeah, they fit.
Is it bad that when I saw this news this morning, because of course I saw it on Twitter or something, because she was trending, I think, right?
Probably.
I was like, is she dead or is she still, like, I forgot about
her.
And I actually really like her work. I think she's very smart and funny and stuff, and whatever happened to her happened, but I forgot about her.
Yeah.
She stays out of the limelight a lot.
There's certain people like that that I'm always like, yeah, good for you. That's all, like, I'm like, oh, look at you. Still in the league. You love to see it, you know? Who would have thought? Everyone thought you were just headed for, like, such a down spiraling career and tragic ending. It's like, no, you still here doing normal shit. Good for you, dog.
She's doing good.
Christine Brown celebrates first Thanksgiving after Cody Brown split. Now, I don't know. I've never heard of any of these white people.
I'm sorry, I have not heard of them.
I'm assuming performers, actors.
We'll find out together.
Okay.
Okay. Christine Brown of Sister Wives fame just celebrated her Thanksgiving holiday after leaving husband Cody Brown. So,
I've heard of the show.
Yeah, I never watched this show. But we talked about them a couple weeks back because she had said that we were destined for a split. I think she's like the middle wife or something.
Right. She's used the one that left the rest of the crew.
Yeah, matching pajamas with my mom and truly blessed. Hashtag Lula Roe Holly. Hashtag holiday. Hashtag Christmas pajamas. She captioned the family pic. She also shared a photo of her daughter taking her to the cleaners during a game of Harry Potter Clue. I am so tired of losing the Harry Potter Clue game. Truly won, and truly is the child's name. Truly won.
Oh, okay.
Truly won, and this wad of paper is her scorecard. Hashtag losing. Hashtag losing games. Hashtag Clue. Hashtag Harry Potter. Hashtag time to cheat. So, but yeah.
By the way, I need to adjust real quick because I need to plug my computer in. We've been talking so long; it's about to run out.
No problem. No problem. So yeah, man, good for them and the babies and all that stuff. You love to see that this, even after their divorce, the sister wiveshood can keep going, you know,
all the love. And yeah, and it's one of his neighbors. I don't think she was the one married to him, because he would marry one, divorce one, marry one, divorce one, marry one, divorce one.
I think she wasn't officially in the marriage group. A bear came to Thanksgiving.
A bear.
This lady's home. And this right, happened.
Here's another thing caught on camera. Yeah, here's another one. Okay, a bear. A woman in Vernon, New Jersey has an encounter. You got to see to believe. Susan Keyhole says she took this video last night of a bear she calls Mr. Doorman. She says the bear has learned to close her front door. She asked the bear to close the front door, please. And sure enough, the bear grabs the doorknob in his mouth and begins to shut the door, but not, you know, all the way at first. So she asks again a few more times, and then the bear completes the task. Mr. Doorman feeling right at home. Oh, did you hear? Close the door, please.
Close the door.
John Elliott.
So now, how much do you tip that doorman, and how do you tip that doorman?
Yay!
Wow. So here's the deal. The reality of this, Dana, is there are over 3,600 bear in New Jersey.
Yeah.
Population has doubled in the last decade, and that's a nice one. We have other bear video that's not as nice.
We gotta be careful. Be careful.
That is the smartest bear. That's great.
That, no.
Damn, y'all don't believe in screen dolls? I don't get this.
I'm sorry.
No.
There goes my Sunday. What?
That's one. That is the whitest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Come on.
Just the like audacity to believe you're controlling that animal, that wild animal, and teaching it how to use doors. Like, it's like you're teaching it to murder. It's like, here's how you operate a human door. The one thing that was keeping you outside of my house. Oh my God. Oh.
Wow. Did she give him the key and tell her, show him how to open it too?
Oh my God. Oh my God. What is wrong? Mm-hmm. And then clearly she has a relationship with it. She calls it Mr. Doorman. That's not the first time. Oh my God. Oh my God. No.
Yeah, call me bear racist. They all look the same to me.
Did she say please?
I don't, you know what? All I heard was close the door. I didn't even know if she said please.
Yeah, this is your house now, Mr. Bear. You'd have heard me screaming.
She left the door open on purpose for it to close it. And honestly, the bear's probably doing her a favor, like, human, you should be closing this door. What the fuck is wrong with you? I wish I had a door on my cave. Are you afraid? Are you crazy? Oh, anyway, good luck to her. At least she's not racist. She was inviting a black bear, you know, to the front door, so that's nice, but come on.
I call bullshit. She trained that bear. She just wanted to make a viral video. I'm sorry.
It did look like bullshit. It had a good cut. You know what I'm saying? It had a real smooth number one, like, shave cut, so it could be, like, her personal bear, but I don't know. It trained them to ride unicycles and juggling shit. What are you, like, you don't let them fuck with your door.
That bear gonna go rogue one day and go mess around and walk on some other people. They're gonna hear some jingle. It's gonna be gonna learn how to break in.
Right.
They're gonna be like, hey, yo, boo boo. And you're gonna be like, the fuck is this?
Will Smith says, I used to vomit after orgasming as a psychosomatic reaction.
What?
Yeah. He's releasing his book. He's doing a press tour for King Richard. And so I think these things are coinciding to make it seem like he's just showing up at interviews just telling his business.
That's the worst humble brag. I'm sorry. It's like when I got broken up with and I was like, oh, I fucked so many dudes. It's like my vagina hurts from getting all this D.
Yeah. Ooh. I was fucking throwing up, bro. I was getting so much sex. I lost
all
like,
of the sex.
Dude, it was like I was basically bulimic because that's how
my
much I was
hurt
fucking.
From all the licking.
At that time when guys were like, man, you want to go out to the club, Will? I know you just got in a breakup. He's like, bro, I would, but like, honestly, I'm trying to keep my lunch down because I'm just getting so much over here. You just don't understand. Yeah, he said he handled heartbreak not by listening to sad tunes, but by having too much sex. And he said, I desperately needed relief, but as there is no pill for heartbreak, I resorted to homeopathic remedies of shopping and rampant sexual intercourse. He writes, up until this point in my life, I had only had sex with one woman other than Melanie, but over the next few months, I went full ghetto hyena.
What? What's a ghetto hyena?
And what does that have to do with having a lot of sex?
What? Yeah, welcome to my world, everyone. That's what I do. Like, oh, I could eat ice cream or I could fuck everyone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
spoiler.
He is Will Smith, so like.
Right, so.
I feel like everyone assumed he was having lots of sex regard. Like, I feel like this. He had to go here in his tell all because to me, there's not much Will Smith could write about his life that we'd be surprised by, right? Because we're all like. Yeah, you're one of the most attractive, famous rich men on
the
planet.
In the world. Like, women were throwing themselves at you.
Oh, you had lots of sex? Wow. Oh, tell me another one. And he's like, no. I had so much sex, I was throwing up. You're like, ugh. Okay, well, all right. I didn't see that coming. Maybe I didn't even know that. he said that having all this sex didn't agree with his inner being, so he developed a psychosomatic reaction to ejaculating. I had sex with so many women, and it was constitutionally disagreeable to the core of my being that I developed psychosomatic reaction to having an orgasm. It would literally make me gag and sometimes even vomit. Those poor ladies.
I hope this was afterwards.
Oh, those poor women. Oh man.
Thinking y'all well, had a good time. And he's like, oh, excuse me, I need to go to the bathroom.
Oh my God. If you have sex with Will Smith and the first thing he does is hop off of you to go throw up. Oh man, that would fuck your whole ego up, man.
That did happen to me though recently, actually. I dated somebody who was physically nauseous after we, you know, did stuff, and it turns out he'd just broken up with somebody and he was still sad about it.
Oh.
And he did have a physical reaction. And this is me not bragging that I had sex recently, but
Was it Will Smith?
That. I mean, like, why talk about it now? What's the point?
Was it Will Smith, and will you see King Richard now that you know?
A little bit of column A, a little bit of column B.
I don't know. I mean, I just assumed he was having sex with women and giving one-liners from his movies and stuff, you know? Like,
yeah. This is when he was younger. He was 16, right? When this happened?
I don't know.
Doesn't even say in this article. Mm-hmm. Let me see. Yeah, they don't even say. So 16 is not that.
He was younger though, right?
He was married to Cherie in 1992. They divorced in 1995. Then he married Jada Pinkett. So then, yeah, it sounds like it must have been when he was younger. He only had sex with one other woman. And that woman wasn't his wife, Melanie. Is not his wife. So yeah, he probably was young according to this. So I don't know. Yeah. I just think it's funny because, he's Will Smith and he's such a like, it's like his brand has been just like the guy who can play and fit into anything. You know, everyone likes Will Smith. He doesn't really say much or say anything personal. He doesn't really talk about, and I mean this in a good and bad way, he doesn't talk about anything political. And lately he's just been like, all right, fuck it, y'all want to know. been speculating for years. Well, guess what, we do have an open relationship. I was fucking people, throwing up.
Now y'all can't claim TMI because you wanted to know.
And to be fair, that actually is kind of a funny thing. So you know what, I love him and let him do what he wants to do.
Yeah. Him and Jada, they seem to be working it out or whatever. They seem to be the wildly attractive couple that is messy, that everybody thought they were, you know? It's weird. When people were speculating that they had an open relationship, it felt like that was okay because they weren't talking about it. But as soon as they were like, actually, we'll talk about it now. And it's like, oh no, we don't want that. We just wanted you to be the couple that's in the club that comes and picks us up. And we're like, oh my God, no one knows. I'm in on a dirty secret.
You know, when they say like, what's your dream dinner guest on like questions? I want them because I know it'll end in a threesome.
And they're going to, and I'm going to learn some things. I have no, like, they're going to just be like, oh yeah, you got to try ayahuasca or something. I'm like, oh wow. Y'all are out there.
Yeah. Take you to a new level. You ain't going to know what's happening.
Dessert.
So, but yeah, man, throw up sex. Got to be careful out here. Okay. When you're having sex and you're throwing up, it's probably not. Probably means you got some things going on inside, and that's okay. Work on you. Did you take it personally when the person threw up? Like, did they have to come out and explain it, or you just knew automatically?
He didn't throw up, but he got very nauseous. And then we talked about it the next day, and he's like, there's something you should know. I actually, you know, it was I don't want to blow up his spot right here. He's a really cool dude. But the fact that he was very respectful about his ex, but wasn't totally, it was only the second date, because but I didn't realize how quickly he had gotten out of the relationship. So he was very honest, and he's like, I can't do this right now.
Well, that's cool.
That's understandable.
The communication is the key, because I just wouldn't, I know I don't have that kind of confidence, so I would definitely take it personal for sure. I'd be like, oh God, I'm so disgusting. You threw up. This is all a mistake. You know what? I'm going to just take the window out. Don't worry about opening the door. And then
we continued to have many forms of sex for 3 hours after that. So it's like, I didn't take it personally.
Right.
That
was good. So he was like, he got over it.
He got over it.
Yeah.
But we agreed that it probably wasn't a good idea.
And you know,
there's more to the story, but I won't say it.
We picked up the context clues. It's Jason Sudeikis. We get it.
Okay.
He went to
listen. Okay, I just found out he's cheating on me on your show. I'm a little bit unnerved.
The Lakers have a game tonight, and I'm just saying, don't watch. Madonna blasts Instagram for taking down pictures of her nipple.
Instagram is funny about things like that, because I've seen nipple in various different ways, and I'm like, oh, that I can see that's a nipple, but depending on how you present it, they're like, this is good.
Yeah, Madonna. So
man nipples, right? But you can't see lady nipples,
right? Yeah, Free the Nipple is such an interesting campaign because I don't know who's against it. You know what I mean? Like, who are the people against it? Like, what's your deal? You know, maybe it's like a Instagram sponsorship thing or something. Like, maybe they're trying to like be a quote unquote legitimate business and they don't want to fight with sponsors and stuff.
Yeah, lady nipples equals porn. Men nipples is not.
Yeah, it's just so, it's like,
I mean,
it's so interesting.
Nothing else makes sense.
Somebody wants to show you their boobs and you're like, I don't think so. That's a little too much for me. I'm gonna have to take this down. Who are you? What is your belief system?
There's a woman in New York City. They finally made it legal to be topless in New York. If you can be a man and topless.
Yeah.
And she walks around every day with a backpack and nothing else on. Love her. She just walks around with just the backpack. She, you know.
Yes.
Legally, you have to do that. Hilarious.
I would always see those women protesting. And I would always be like, who's the other side? Why are you? It's just like, because you know the dudes are fucking stupid. They just want to see some titties. They don't really give a fuck. Mm. So it's not like you're going to find too many. Maybe you'll find some like people that are publicly prudes. You know what I mean? But technically they want to see some titties. But then you got like maybe hating ass other women. Like who are the people that are like, fuck this, call the cops. I saw some titties and that's not going to stand. You know, that's crazy to me. Anyway, Madonna, who's 63. And still trying to get it all out there for us.
Ain't she though? She was like, I didn't get this surgery for nothing. You gonna get these cheeks.
Yeah. Madonna's such a weird case study for me because she went from like, she's always been provocative. Everybody, you know, and it caused so much controversy. I remember she did, Like a Virgin, and they had the black Jesus in there and shit, and people was mad about that and was like, okay. But, also I feel like so time has passed enough to where everybody's kind of like this now. Mm-hmm. Like she did change the game enough to where like this is a lot of women's Instagram, famous celebrity Instagrams are like, yeah, I get naked and take pictures of my lingerie and stuff. So now it almost feels like she's behind the times. Like, oh, look at her trying to be provocative. That's cute. You know, she was the foremother of a lot of this stuff. And still at 63, she's still giving it to us. So good for her, man. Mm-hmm. And then she had butt surgery, so we have to see her butt. So
right, like I said, y'all gonna get these cheeks. I didn't spend all that money for nothing.
Listen,
wait, she had butt surgery?
Mm-hmm. Yes,
yeah, she wanted a bigger butt. Like I want to say 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. So then she got surgery.
Yep, and got a young boyfriend now.
Yeah, she got a young little rapper boyfriend. That's like 27 or some shit. She's basically like white men in Hollywood in reverse. You know what I mean?
She's like, I like the same model car. Yeah, young.
You know what? I'm into 23-year-old men of color. I've always been into it, and that's just how I'm going to go out. And so, yeah, she got the butt surgery because that's what's in. That's why I said it's so weird to see it kind of go backwards for her, right? Like, she was the one that would set the standard, and now we're watching her be like, Brazilian butt lift. Think I'm going to get that. 63. They need to see these cheeks.
Mm-hmm.
Good for you. All right, let's move into sword ratchetness, y'all. Let's wrap this thing up. We've had such a good time.
We have. This has been fun.
We love talking about white people. We don't get to do it enough.
Mm-mm.
I feel much more relieved. You know, we talked a lot about coronavirus and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So now to play the longest sound effect in the world, sword ratchetness. Sword ratchetness time. Sorry, some water went down the wrong pipe. Pinellas.
Give it up, buddy.
I'm fine. I'll breathe through it. Pinellas County man swings machete at Pier 60 employee when told that the bathrooms are closed. That's one way to get them back open.
Wait, hold on. Pier 60, is it like Pier 1?
Well, they're 59 piers bigger than Pier 1.
Apparently so.
Yeah, I don't know what Pier 60 employee, what is a Pier 60?
Mm-hmm.
They're like, is it like how Dallas,
New York,
Florida, Pier 60 at Clearwater Beach. Oh, okay. Some type of resort, it looks like. Hold on. I can show y'all what I'm seeing on my screen.
Okay.
So maybe it's like some type of resort, type thing. Pier 60 is a phone number there. some images. So kind of like this thing, I guess.
Oh.
So it's like, looking like some real touristy shit. Mm-hmm. And, I guess it's literally a pier. 10 things you know about Pier 60 at Clearwater Beach.
Oh, it's just a pier, and they called it Pier 60.
Yeah, so that's their thing. All right, well, good for y'all. You know, you love to see it. Well, he didn't love to see it because he couldn't use the bathroom.
I mean, it's a pier. Why would you expect the bathroom at the pier?
He should have just taken a COVID notice, a letter, and wiped his butt with it. And then he would have been two problems solved.
Two at once. Well, they got showers there at the pier, so, you know.
That's true. Mm-hmm. That is true. He could have just peed in the shower.
But who carries a machete to a pier?
A man is listen, this is, a machete's like a hammer. When you have a machete, everything's a machete problem that can be solved with a machete. Yeah, that's him. What, Karen? He can't use the bathroom or,
He did that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he does look guilty, I guess. Documents show Thomas Clement, 64, of Largo, was at Pier 60 in Pinellas County when he began to yell profanities at store workers. And he began yelling after they told him the bathroom was closed. He was seated in a wheelchair. Then he pulled out his 12-inch machete. First of all, 12-inch?
That's, in the wheelchair, did he stand up?
That's a short machete. Before waving it around, and he threatened employees. Several minutes later, he was arrested, charged disorderly conduct. Documents show.
I'm assuming they have peer police.
Well, no, Karen, they just use peer pressure to.
That's a good one.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a good one. I like that one.
Yeah, he's gonna go to court. He's gonna be tried by a jury of his peers. All right, I'll stop. Things weren't worth their appeared. All right, I'll stop. All right, now I'm done. It's all out. Several minutes later, he was arrested. Now I hope you understand. I hope y'all sitting down. Documents show alcohol may have played a part.
Oh, you don't say. I guess with that alcohol, he was a peer of one.
I don't even know what that means, but yeah.
Peer one.
Oh, yes. I do know what that means. Okay.
Unfortunately, he couldn't be a peer.
That's my favorite thing. I like when the guest stars out like these puns, and then in the end they're joining in.
Yeah, you know? Join the pun.
You can't help yourself.
I, my brain was going the entire time, and I was so jealous. I was like, damn, they're good. And then that's why I came in late.
Man.
You win.
I mean, and I guess alcohol would play a part, because one, it makes you have to use the bathroom. You know, and then two, it makes your decision making fucked
not
up.
Not the best.
So now you're like, I know the solution to using the bathroom. My machete. That'll fix this problem.
So he was so drunk that he had to come in on a wheelchair. But when this happened, apparently, I'm assuming.
Well, I don't know that he could permanently be in a wheelchair, Karen. That is, we don't know
okay,
that.
Okay, so it didn't say he stood up. Okay.
Yeah, we don't know that he like sat in, like he could be, you know, a wheelchair bound person. Mm-hmm. And just. They were like, you can't use the bathroom. And he was like, I think I fucking can.
Yes.
But hell, machete.
And I'm going to show you today.
Now you're all using the bathroom. We all using it together.
So did they let him use the bathroom?
It sounds like they didn't.
I don't know. You see, I guess.
In the police statement.
Yeah, they didn't expect this when he rolled up on the situation.
Yeah, they definitely didn't. Catherine, tell the people where's the best place to find you.
Yes.
In my apartment.
Okay.
I am also on Instagram, Twitter, all the things at SPK Heller, stands for Special K Heller. I got that nickname in college and never got rid of it. No, I've never done the drug. I like the cereal. also, KatherineHeller.com. And, yeah, find me at the New Futurist, NYNF.org. I go back in the show in December. And, if you're in the city, and also we do live streaming, so you can watch me on stage online if
Thank
you want
you.
To be safe.
Well, it's been
Thank
fun.
Thank you for having me. I'm such a fan of yours. I've been trying to play it cool this entire time, but I just want to say I did love your show so much. The two of you were so great together, and everything you do, everything you talk about are just so – I'm a big fan, and it's been a pleasure to be here.
Well, thank you, Catherine. We'll definitely have you back soon. Mm-hmm. This has been very fun.
Yes, it has.
You passed the test. You can be our friend. And, yeah, make sure y'all go check her out online. We'll be back either tomorrow late at night, or we'll be back definitely Tuesday with JL Covan and possibly Wednesday. So we'll see. We'll play it by ear. Thank y'all for listening. Thank you for supporting. And until next time, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah.